Hey, greetings, everyone. Lieutenant Colonel Alan West here, and welcome to the Steadfast and Loyal podcast. You gotta light 'em up before they burn it down. Better dig deep, put 'em in the ground. But on their hands, they're hell bound. Before they burn it down.
Hey folks, Lieutenant Colonel Alan West here. A Watchtower Firearms. This is the custom design AR-15 that was just made for me. It's got my Steadfast and Loyal logo there. On this side, you can see my signature, my master parachutist wings, of course, American flag. And I just want to tell you that you can't be a great American unless you have a great American weapon. And that's exactly what Watchtower Firearms is building. Great American weapons, all American parts, manufactured right here in the great state of Texas. And oh, by the way, the let me see, where is the serial number on this one? TX-1836. If you're from Texas, I think you know what that means. God bless you. God bless Watchtower.
Hey, Bird Center. Yes.
Hey, greetings, everyone. Welcome back to the Steadfast and Loyal podcast. Lieutenant Colonel Alan West here. There's so much going on in our country right now. And so I thought to look into what's happening at Capitol Hill. We get the perspectives and insights of one of the members there, a very strong member. That's Congresswoman Victoria Sparks of Indiana's 5th Congressional District. She immigrated to the United States of America in 2000 after meeting her husband, Jason, a born and raised Hoosier, on a train in Europe. She became a U.S. citizen and worked her way up from being a bank teller to a CPA, financial executive, successful business owner, Indiana state senator, and now a member of the Congress. Growing up in Ukraine molded her conservative and political philosophy that limited government is always better, and financial and healthcare decisions should be made by individuals in the free market. She currently serves on the United States House of Representatives Judiciary and Educational Labor Committees, and we just want to thank you, Representative Sparks, for joining with us.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
You know, without a doubt, I know you're heading back to the airport to get back up on Capitol Hill. We know what just recently happened between Israel and Iran with the 350 rocket ballistic missiles and drone attacks. Are we going to be able to get this funding support package to Israel right now? Because we know that you passed it in the House. It's sitting on Chuck Schumer's desk. Are we going to be able to get this through, you think?
Well, listen, I think this is, you know, we have a major serious situation. Unfortunately, if you don't have strength, you will not have peace. And we had so many weaknesses in this administration. And the House understood the urgency of the situation. If we want to deter Iran, we need to provide this funding. And we already passed it twice in a variety of forms. Yes. In the last time, it actually was a clean bill, so they couldn't complain. I think it was fair to include IRS, which is becoming a police state anymore. And, you know, they don't need so much money. As a CPA used to work in accounting, I can tell you, they just harass an individual. They're not even doing their job. But unfortunately, you know, they didn't like that. Okay, we passed the clean bill and they didn't like it. So I think, I hope they will become more serious and stop being political, because right now they do an appeasement and it only benefits our adversaries.
It absolutely does. And when you look at the fact this administration has given Iran, the number one state sponsor of Islamic terrorism, billions of dollars, and I don't know what they thought that would go towards. And of course, we've seen the, you know, emboldening and the resourcing of Hamas, the Houthis, Hezbollah, and now we see what is happening. How much culpability do you see with the Biden administration in what happened this past weekend?
Well, listen, let's just think about that. You know, just I'll give you one example. You know, how would this terrorist wouldn't be emboldened if President Biden take $1 billion from Ukrainian aid, takes it to Yemen, takes Houthis off the terrorist list that President Trump put them on and give $1 billion for very corrupt UN. What do you think this terrorist is going to do? They are now shooting in our ships and they're emboldened. You see what's happening. Given loopholes, given billions of dollars to Iran, what do you think these people are going to do? What about now Iran on the brink of getting nuclear weapon? We worry about Russia having nuclear weapon every time they wave nuclear flag and everyone gets nervous. Think about these terrorists having nuclear weapons. What is it going to do and how is it going to destabilize the whole world? But I think, unfortunately, his actions, whether it was in Afghanistan, whether it was in Ukraine, whether they were in the Middle East, whether dealing with China, they were very weak. And when you're weak and afraid, your adversaries are moving. And that's what's happening. So this is complete his fault where we are right now. And unfortunately, this situation is so dangerous and can escalate in very, very significant crisis and war.
Let's talk about the Ukraine funding aspect. And this is very near and dear to your heart. And I don't think anyone has a better insight into Ukraine and what's happening there than yourself, born and raised there. We continue to hear about this funding for Ukraine. You have had some apprehensions about this blank check continuing to be written. Where do you stand right now with this issue of funding toward Ukraine and their fight against Russia?
As you know, unfortunately, democracy have advantages in speed and agility. Wars have to be won as fast as we can, not as long as it takes. In the long run, dictatorship, communists have advantages. And I think that was very, very unwise and very weak for President Biden not to provide some weapons before Russia moved in. Not to help Ukraine at the beginning of the war, but also have proper accountability. We need to learn from our mistakes, whether it's Iran and Afghanistan, where we spend trillions of dollars and where we are right now. We had actually terrorists getting our weapons in the end. This is just really stupid, and we abandon our allies. So I think, unfortunately, President mishandled every war right now, including the war in Ukraine. And now the situation is got even worse. And I told, we're going to have more wars if we not deal with Russia, China, Iran, who teamed up against us. And let's just be honest about that. So I think, we have to be much tougher and more strategic. And if you remember, we won Soviet Union against Soviet Union, which I grew up in, not just with weapons. We had economic policies.
Yes.
We had energy policies. You have to have multidimensional policy, plus in many more, it includes your cyber policy and propaganda, a lot of they're doing. And I think it's very complicated wars and very multidimensional. And if you don't do it, you will not able to deter them effectively. So we're spending so much money in D.C. Our grandchildren will be paying for that. Mm-hmm. It is in our national interest to deter these aggressors, but we need to be smarter and we have to oversight, especially dealing with corrupt governments like, former Soviet Union republics. Of course, these countries are very corrupt. You have brave people dying for freedoms, and that's what it is. When you lose them, you have to go through bloodshed to get them back, and it's very hard. And a lot of times, we as Americans don't value as much. So I think I was actually attacked as a congresswoman, American congresswoman. How dare you ask about accountability and oversight of money my taxpayers? I was shocked. I was told that I was pro-Kremlin. This is really, but I'm okay because I will always stand for our interest.
Well, and of course, you also have a background as a CPA, and you understand the importance of having audits, and especially audits of the financial resources of the American people and American citizens. The other question I want to ask you is that you're right. You grew up in the old Soviet Union. You understand authoritarianism, totalitarianism, dictatorships, and threats to democracy. When you hear Joe Biden and the left continuing to demonize and denigrate, conservatives and Republicans as threats to democracy, do you kind of get the sense that they're trying to project who they are onto others?
Well, and they've been very successful. I have to tell you, I spent all of my adult life here, so 24 years, and how much they advance. I got involved with politics not because I enjoy it. This is one of the worst and most difficult and craziest job I ever had.
I know, I was there. Yeah.
You understand it very well, because I just got mad what's happening, and what really breaks my heart, what's happening in the country, and how clever, how brilliant, how brutal the other side advance in centralizing power, how many rights Americans are losing. And what's, you know, people don't understand all this socialism and everything sounds great, but when you run out of money, it ended up being a bloodshed and people have to die. And we had a lot of Americans die for our freedom. So we have to appreciate what we built here, but I think it hasn't been taught very well to our children. And unfortunately, people are becoming, you know, a lot of Americans now buying propaganda on the, from the left. So, and Republicans haven't been as effective to fight that. You know, we have to be much tougher, and it's all about the money. And Congress is not doing its job. We keep giving them blank checks. And if we keep continue doing that, they will get more emboldened. But I think it's very, you know, becoming very tyrannical, our government. And I don't say it lightly when I call the DOJ and FBI, remind me KGB, I kind of meant it. They didn't like to say, but it's sad for me to see that.
You know, and it reminds me of the East German Stasi police. You know, I was stationed over in Europe while the wall was still up and got a chance to go to East Berlin. And so it's just amazing to me that a lot of things that you saw and experienced and so many people from Eastern Europe that have fled and escaped, we're starting to allow to take root here. And so I'd like to close with this question. You know, are you concerned about the reauthorization of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, the FISA?
Listen, I'm not just concerned. Unfortunately, you know, Section 702 of FISA Act being used by FBI and DOJ as a loophole to have warrantless surveillance in violation of the Fourth Amendment rights, you know, of Americans' searches. And also, another thing, I have illegal collection of data on Americans, and they all call it incidental and everything else, and they say we have, but no one even audits what they're retaining and how and what they're collecting. And that is a huge problem. And if we're not willing to, you know, to defend rights of Americans against the police state, then, you know, Congress, we're not worse than being in Congress, because this is one of the biggest issues. That's how police state works. You understand now how they can collect data on you. If you buy a gun and you bought a Bible, you can be on domestic terrorist list. Then they do these phishing exercises in databases and try to search and find something to you. This is the KGB tactics, you know, and that's why we have to stop it. Unfortunately, maybe it was a good attempt after September 11th. It's been abused. We know that the FBI ran millions of queries on Americans. Now they say, we got a little bit better. Now we only have several hundred thousand queries we ran on U.S. person. Well, that makes me feel much better. But I was so disappointed that the least we could do, at least require them warrant, you know, when they search data on U.S. persons and Americans. And unfortunately, as you saw, it was a tie vote and it failed. And I cannot believe that. And if we're willing, you know, to not, you know, to let, you know, our deep state to control people and collect data, then how we can be criticized in some other countries. I mean, this is so un-American. I was so upset about it. I'll be honest with you.
You know, I want to give you the last couple of minutes to talk to the audience about what you're engaged in, what you see as your priorities right now as we wrap up this legislative session, this legislative year, and heading into the 2024 election. So I'm going to give the floor to you for these last couple of minutes, Congresswoman.
Well, I'll be honest with you, today maybe is a good day to talk about is April 15th. And actually, when I ran for Congress, you know, I know enough to be dangerous about javelins and weapons and other things, but actually I could claim expertise in finances. That's what I did for a living over a decade of my life. You know, and when I ran for Congress, I felt like we have to start dealing with our crushing, destructive debt. What's going to happen if we don't deal with that? And we're going to have inflation, which is already destroying, you know, opportunities for low-income people, people on fixed income, and then we're going to have increased of taxes on the middle class. What is going to do is going to create political elites on top in Washington, D.C., and everyone else equally poor. That's what socialism is. That's what the other side want. That's why I fought a lot, even with my own party, to start dealing with fiscal issue. At least have a fiscal commission to have a discussion. We're going to have debt ceiling increase at the end of this year. Do we have a plan? Are we discussing how to deal with that? Or is it going to be against different BS, scrambling, and everything else, and nothing significant has happened, and all funds are going bankrupt? And one of the big ticket items, it's not very sexy, it's not that some easy to campaign on, but one of the most important things that we're not dealing with is healthcare. That's one sort of our spending, and we're creating a lot of monopolies there with Taj Mahals. A lot of money are given to special interest groups, but one of seven Americans in debt collection for medical debt. We have hyperinflation of price. It's crushing our debt. I mean, it's pretty much one of the biggest drivers of debt. And it's also not improving health, you know, of our population because we do not have competition for value. That's one of the most material issues that we have to resolve. And unfortunately, sometimes I feel like one woman standing, you know, but I'm willing to stand on it and I'm willing to fight on it because unfortunately, if we don't resolve our debt and spending and healthcare situation, we're going to have a calamity that is coming very soon.
Well, we appreciate you so very much, Congresswoman Victoria Sparks, because so often people that have lived under regimes where they didn't have individual rights, freedoms, and liberties have a lot to teach us here in the United States of America, because I think we've taken a lot of these things for granted. How can people follow you? How can people support you in your endeavors there representing the 5th Congressional District in Indiana?
It's sparts.house.gov. It's SPARTZ or Rep Sparts on social media, and they can sign up. And I try to do very quick and straight talk updates. I don't, you know, I tell people the truth. Sometimes people don't like to hear it, but if we as Americans don't stand up against this very, very, you know, powerful and very oppressive government, truly is, we're in trouble because it's not going to happen in Washington, D.C. We with the people need to be able to wake up and do something about it. But I truly believe Americans are seeing that, and I think we will see this election this year.
Well, you are the definition of a leader because the military taught me a leader tells people what they need to hear, not what they want to hear. Politicians operate in that realm of telling people what they want to hear for their electoral gain. So, ladies and gentlemen, Congresswoman Victoria Sparks, representing the 5th Congressional District in Indiana. If you enjoyed this podcast interview, please click the like button and share it with others. And then until next time, we wish you a great trip back up to Capitol Hill. Continue to be a fighter for American freedoms, rights, and liberties. And ladies and gentlemen, Congresswoman Victoria Sparks, she's steadfast and loyal.
Before they burn it down.